Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valenti Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. Venting a little bit here. The Brian Branch thing, I applaud him and I scold him at the same time, but I think it's a product of what happened on Monday night that was out of his control and was out of the Lions' control. The Patrick Mahomes taunt in his face four separate times to go unpunished in this NFL is beyond me. And do I like some of the rulings? No, I don't, but I've seen far less get flagged. And in fact, Kang, who was it that had the video today of Puka Nacua doing the same thing and getting flagged?
The internet.
Okay.
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's all right. The internet. We're going to credit the internet.
But didn't Puka Nacua like flex and point? And he got flagged. Patrick Mahomes did four separate things to Brian Branch. No flag.
No. Well, I think that'll change. He'll get fined. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen, in real game time. And if it had, maybe things wouldn't have been as volatile at the end. I don't know. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get fined for sure for the hit that he had on Brian Branch that went unflagged. If he's not, then the league's unhinged. And it's just clear and obvious that there's a bias if they come out even after the fact and don't do anything.
Let's go to Matt in St. Clair Shores. What's up, Matt?
Hey, boys. Happy Tuesday.
What's up?
Listen, this is just such a dumb thing that Brian Branch did, and it really makes me question whether he's long-term here. If you think about it, he's on an absolute mash unit of a defensive backfield right now. After last year, completely had nobody up in the front. Now there's nobody in the backfield. So the best thing is he misses one game. The worst thing is he's punching a helmet or whatever you want to call it, open fisting helmet. He breaks his hand. He hurts his wrist. Now he's out multiple weeks. What kind of leadership? It's just such a dumb thing for him to do. So it's just very frustrating that, this guy's in line to get a major extension, and this is the kind of stuff that he's doing.
Yeah, but Matt, he's so good as a player. I get it. There's some bonehead mistakes, and this one at the end of the game clearly was. I agree with you. But that's not going to tell me that I shouldn't re-sign this guy or give him an extension because he is one of the top safeties in the National Football League. And right, there would be 31 other teams would be happy to take him off your hands.
But let's say it's week 16, week 17, right? And we dropped the game in week 7 to Tampa because we didn't have anybody in the defensive back.
No, I got you. Hobbling. But I'm not disagreeing with what he did was stupid because I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying I'm not going to be so punitive as to say that, this incident with a bunch of others that it could result in now his next, thing, whatever happens with him could result in multiple game suspension. I'm not going to say it's not going to cost a team because it can cost a team, but he's too good. This is one of those things where when people always say, why don't the Lions take a chance on a guy who's got a checkered past or whatever, and they're not going to do that. Well, they've got this guy. There's nothing wrong with him as a person. It's just on the field he makes some questionable mistakes, and the mistakes are physical mistakes that – this is the guy that you allow that to happen with. For everybody that clamored to get guys that had the checkered past, what about this guy? Nothing wrong with him. And I love Brian Branch. I want Brian Branch here. I want him here long term. So I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I think it's one of the things you have to put up with. Hopefully you can curtail it and he learns from it. Maybe it's also a heck of a lot easier for me, Doug, to accept this right now because I think he is injured. And if he gets suspended for a game, it might do him more good to have this week off going into the bye week.
Kind of needs a break anyway.
Yeah.
Matt on a cell, you're next. What's up, Matt?
What's up? what Brian Brian Branch, didn't he do the same thing last year in a Green Bay game? I don't think he got suspended, but he got fined. Didn't he, like, hit somebody, you know, dirty?
He's gotten fined. He's gotten fined 13 times.
He's the double bird at Green Bay.
Yeah, he's gotten fined 13 times, but this is, I think, his first suspension.
Now, you know, I live in Detroit, so I do root for the Lions, but I'm from Missouri, so I root for the Chiefs. And this part, Gator, you probably won't like. We'll wave to you guys from the Super Bowl field, all right? All these fans crying about hits and flags. The Chiefs were just better this week.
That's not an argument against them getting favorable calls. All these fans crying is not an argument against them getting favorable calls.
No, and I will admit, as a Chiefs fan, there are a lot of calls that the Chiefs don't get called on. But I'm not upset about it because it's my team. But, yes, I am one of the Chiefs fans who say, yeah.
So you're being critical of people crying about something that you acknowledge is true.
Yeah, I acknowledge it's true, but it doesn't mean that I don't like it. You know, if it helps my team.
Can you understand, if you were in Detroit's fans' shoes, would you be complaining? Really?
Probably not about the taunting calls, because there's taunting everywhere. Whether
how about the other 10 calls that didn't go their way? How about the NFL not buzzing down to say the Kelsey catch wasn't a catch? Or how about the holding calls on Aiden Hutchinson? Or how about the crackback block on Brian Branch?
Yeah, but the Chiefs aren't the only team that doesn't get called for stuff.
Yeah,
you yourself acknowledged that the Chiefs seem to get the benefit of the doubt. You acknowledge
right,
that. And then you insult Detroit fans for crying for something that you acknowledge is true.
Mahomes is the modern-day Tom Brady. When Tom Brady was winning all those times,
yeah, right, people couldn't stand him outside of the state of Michigan New England. Yeah, well, New England's not a state, but Massachusetts.
You know, the next 10 years, it could be the Lions. Everyone would be like, "Oh, we hate golf. They're winning so much."
That'd be great, but I'm going to tell you right now to call up and complain about people crying, and then you go, "Well, it is true." Doesn't really kind of. Those two things don't really jive, do they? Let's go to Brian in Rochester. You're next. Hi, Brian.
Hey. For me, this call is just kind of like, you know, it's something the Lions have needed for years and years where, you know, maybe they got disrespected and spit on. But Branch, for me, at the end of that game was like saying, "You're not doing this to us. We will not be disrespected." And we've needed a guy like that for so long. But the Kang's point, no, I don't think like they're deliberately Taylor Swift calling from the bat phone from the Swift cave saying, "Hey, do this and make the Chiefs win." But there's things that the refs can control throughout the course of the game, like just you want to call pass interference or don't you? You want to let it slide? Well, they're not letting it slide for the Lions, you know, and they're giving the Chiefs all the holding calls one way or the other. But yeah, Gator, it's like Rat got me on the line, you know? Taylor Swift, if Taylor Swift's calling down, and you can attest to it, Doug, you might not be so familiar, but Vinnie Vincent, okay? He got isolated from Kiss. And it's kind of like he got shunned out, and that's Brian Branch. He probably felt on an island, and he wanted to do something to stand up for not only himself. Right.
You lost me, Brian, because I don't like a Vinnie Vincent Brian Branch comparison. I think I'd say if you had gone Ace Frehley, that might be better. But the you start throwing Vinnie Vincent in there, that was a bad era of Kiss.
What the hell is he talking about?
He maybe wanted a Back for More reference or Wanted Man if I wanted to keep going with Rat references, but it's okay.
All right. Do you think I'm the only one he lost?
No.
Okay. It's Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797. 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, Hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Of course he's right.
Right. But does Andy Reid owe Dan Campbell an apology?
For what?
For stealing his nuggies? No, for on behalf of Juju Smith-Schuster for the illegal crackback block?
No.
Should he apologize for Patrick Holmes' despicable behavior of taunting in the end zone, not once, not twice, not thrice, but four times?
I pointed it out, and I don't know that
I think there's
it
an apology. I think there's an apology that has to come. We demand it.
You think?
If our coach is going to apologize to him, then their coach should apologize to Dan Campbell.
It's tough because I actually feel a little guilty. I'm trying to figure out these emotions. I got a lot going on, Gator. I'm a very complicated person. Life is coming at me from all kinds of angles.
Are you really that complicated?
But I'm feeling like guilty because I feel like this is just such Homerism talk radio. But it's the entire NFL. You've got independent writers documenting how the Lions got screwed, and here are the seven worst calls. And we got a player that lashed out and was kind of in that moment, all of us, in terms of frustration. As that was game was going on, I'm like, zero penalties. This is, okay, zero penalties in the first half. Wow, it was a clean half. Zero penalties, and we're going to the fourth quarter. Oh, there's the flag for offsides. There's no judgment on offsides, although they missed one on a Lions play that was shown, where a guy lines up right over the football. It was on the golf touchdown pass, and Chris Jones is in the neutral zone. And I feel like this is like lowbrow sports talk radio. Oh, we got screwed by the ref. Oh, screwed by the ref. That to me... We try to avoid. We don't do a lot of ref topics. You could do it after every loss in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You could have the hometown radio. You do, oh, the ref screwed us. Ref screwed us. Because there's so much riding on it every shift. But
the only call that I'm like, damn it, on is the touchdown that was called back for the Lions.
Yeah.
When they got, like, right after it happens, and they're like, what a play. And they, like, 10 seconds after that, the television crew brought in their own guy, the rules guy, and the rules guy said immediately that's an illegal formation. He said it immediately. Mm-hmm. So to me, that tells me that is an illegal formation. Whatever they did was wrong. The problem that I have with it is it took a minute and 14 seconds for them to drop a flag, which tells me that clearly they heard it from on high rather than these guys.
They said
discussing.
They didn't, but
they lied.
Well, Campbell said after that New York called. And then the pool reporter who got to talk to the head official said, no, New York did not call.
Right. I think even Goff said something in his post-game comments, like he thought that came from up high.
Well, because that's the only reasonable explanation why they huddled up for like almost 2 minutes or whatever.
I want to raise the curtain here a little bit. Yesterday we sat around after the show and we're like, okay, how do we ask Goff about the officiating? And the way, I don't know how we're going to do it, but we have to. And he's not going to answer. And I think we're going to say, you don't have to answer. And then ask him the question. And if he's dead silent, he's dead silent. Because Jared's smart and Jared doesn't need to, you know.
Well, we're going
to
go all the president's men.
I don't know.
If you don't answer, I'll take that to be a yes.
Blink twice if you hate the officials, Jared. I don't know what we're going to do. But Bernard, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Bernard.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. Hey, Bernard, I don't know if you got us on speaker, but we can barely hear you, bud.
Oh, can you hear me now?
That's not my. Now you sound really underwater. Worse. But hey, why don't you get off speaker and figure it out? We'll get back to you. Andy in Fowlerville, what's up, Andy?
Hey, guys. I guarantee you that guy that called in and said he's a big Kansas City fan, he wasn't sitting at some Detroit bar when Mahomes taunted him in the end zone there and said, yeah, I'm going to taunt him, or he'd have got the Branch treatment for one. And we love Brian Branch. We couldn't believe we got him when we got him. I mean, he is such a great player, but we know we can't do that, but every one of us would have done that. I mean, there's a time in everybody's life where you've made the mistake of, yeah, you know, I'm just going to do this anyway, I'll pay for it. Unfortunately, going to pay for it, you know, in a game that we probably could really use him because Tampa Bay is looking.
Well, I find it hard to believe that it was unprovoked. You know, like he's walking off the field. He just wants to get off the field, and Juju Smith-Schuster is standing in front of him and clearly says something to him. What did he say? Was it just like good game and then it gets clocked? I mean, if then it's like, all right, that's a little cheap. But if it wasn't good game, which I doubt it was good game, you know, whatever he said, he knows it's a powder keg situation, and maybe he was just provoking, like John Jansen said this morning. He used to do that all the time to players, just get under their skin. He knew there were guys that would fly off the handle, and that's what happened.
And he'll never let us know what was said to him, ever.
Well, it'd be nice to find out. Look, I thought just Chiefs guy was completely incongruent with his, all this crying. We do get the calls, but all this crying. I'm like, dude.
I think, Gator, that the trigger, well, I think what happened was he was still pissed about the block, the illegal block, Brian Branch was, and he got triggered when he saw Juju coming onto the field celebrating and the antics, and he's like, you know what? Now I'm going to hit him because I can't get penalized for it, right? And there's not going to be no flag because the game's over.
No, just a suspension.
Yeah, exactly. It was a moment of weakness. He's human. I think the silver lining in this, and I may be wrong, so tell me if you think I'm wrong here. I think this is the point where Branch gets it. You know what I mean? Where he doesn't do stuff like this anymore. I think that the talking by Campbell, the suspension from the NFL, he admitted immediately after the game it was childish. He should have never done it. I think maybe we get a more controlled Brian Branch moving forward.
You got to find a way to play with that edge, but not cross the line. I went back and watched his post-game news conference after the double bird situation. He said, that's not me. It'll never happen again. And okay, so that's checked off. He won't give the double bird anymore. Now the post-game fight's checked off. He won't do that. But is there something else he's going to do, right?
I mean, he might karate kick someone. I'm not going to rule that out.
Bernard, let's try again. What's up, man?
Can you hear me better now?
Bernard, we can't. Just barely. I don't know what's up with your phone, man.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Sorry, Bernard.
Yeah. It came back there at the end. What are you trying to say?
No. All right. Well, came back with the underwater sound.
What's going on there with Bernard's phone?
Bad phone.
Sorry, Bernard.
Bad service. Bad area.
It's a bad area?
Bad cheese.
Does anybody ever have a bad area that they're on their phone and it breaks up all the time? Does that ever happen?
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
248-539-9797. Oh, who do we got next here? We got Zach in Clarkston. You're on 97.1. What's up, Zach?
Hey there. I was calling about Brian Branch, and it was pretty much all game long, man. There is a play where Kansas City's backed up in their own end zone, and Brian Branch gets popped in the back, nowhere near the ball by Juju Smith-Schuster. Patrick Mahomes celebrating in his face, dropping the ball in the end zone. He was pretty much provoked all game long, man.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that we haven't seen yet, and I've wondered about, is did Brian Branch do something to Juju Smith-Schuster before that? Did he do something to Patrick Mahomes before that? Because the Patrick Mahomes play, he lets up. He's sprinting over. Mahomes is going to score. He lets up. They bump him, and now Patrick is taunting him. And I think Patrick knows he can get away with it. I think Patrick Mahomes, I don't believe in conspiracies, okay? I don't. I do wonder if just the human nature of some sort of cult of personality and celebrity is making the Chiefs get away with more.
Yeah, it's just crazy, man. I was talking to my buddy about it. Pretty much all season long, Brian Branch is a little out of character this season, it seems like, man. He got a strip sack taken from Hutch, a couple of nonsense penalties, so he's one of my favorite players, man, but I'd like for him to buckle it down a little bit.
Well, as Kank said, maybe this is that moment. We all in our lives have I gotta change moments, right?
Gator hasn't changed at all. He has yet to hit that moment. What are you talking about, Doug?
I'm just sitting here. Unevolved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen you evolve. I've seen you evolve a lot. And I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah. Tell you what, we'll move on because I don't want to turn this into ref radio 24/7. Let's do the big old tub of pretzels next here on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. It is a Tuesday. Typically on Tuesdays we're talking Jared Goff, but with them playing a Monday night game, we'll speak with the Lions quarterback tomorrow here on the program. So that will be at 10:30. Look forward to that as always. Also, same thing happened with Dan Campbell, the morning show. I should have known yesterday. I was teasing that yesterday, and I'm like, oh, they got the Monday night game. Duh. So Dan Campbell will be on tomorrow. Interesting column today about Tarek Skubal, and I wonder how many people would agree or disagree with it. We'll get to that coming up shortly, but it's time to open the big old tub of pretzels. Big old tub of pretzels. These are questions that are often sent in by listeners, and now is a good time to text at 248-539-9797.
Whoa, that looks like rejuvenated.
There's been some added in here, Gator.
All right.
People, and these are like random, like things you and your buddies debate about. Solve this argument for us.
Not some necessarily conundrum, sports related.
No, yeah. Most of them aren't. Yeah. Some conundrum you're having with your significant other, whatever it may be. And we, every once in a while, we
etiquette
open it up
questions.
Yeah. There's a lot of etiquette questions.
Yeah. Some questions you guys really didn't want to answer.
Yeah, I don't like those.
Sometimes it's uncomfortable, and we just say that's not right.
All right, here we go, guys. Question number one that I've pulled out here is, when you are about to eat at a buffet, what's your plan of attack? What's your strategy? Gator, I'm looking at you more than Doug.
I think the first thing you do is you got to do a lap.
Oh, okay, just to see what they have?
You got
to
see what's there, mm-hmm. because you don't want to get too excited, fill up the plate, get back to the table, and then, you know, gorge yourself on something and then miss out on something you really wanted.
Well, okay, now that you've scanned the landscape, what's your plan of attack as far as what are you grabbing first? What section? I'm guessing this is like an international buffet. Like, do you hit Italian? Do you go Mexican? You go apps? Do you go salad? What are you doing here, man?
I'm probably going to start with some hot food first. Go that route and go with like a main entree. But I can't just do like a plate with like a meatloaf or something like that, right? I have to add some sides to it. You're going to have to throw some mashed potatoes on there.
Oh,
you're going to have to add
like
the gravy on there. Yeah, I got it. It can't just be the one thing on the plate for the first plate. And yes, there should be multiple plates because that's why you go to a buffet in the first place.
Doug, well, how do you put together your salad at the salad bar?
I check for blue cheese, black olives, garbanzo beans.
Salad's a big part of the buffet. I actually
do have a strategy.
Yeah.
I think one of the most sketchy yet intriguing things at a buffet is any kind of seafood. I go to check the seafood, and if it looks fresh and good, I'm in. But I think if it looks like it's been sitting there for a while, seafood, like when you get seafood at a buffet, like shrimp or something.
Well, you're always taking a chance.
Yeah, it's like
any place
like
with a Caesar's guard, you're taking a chance. But
listen, I remember being at the Citrus Bowl. 1999.
Oh, 99.
Turning over to the Y2K.
Oh.
And I was down in Orlando for the Michigan State game, and I had some friends that came down too. We went out to dinner one night at a seafood restaurant, all-you-can-eat buffet. I did not partake in what they partook in. Three of the guys got food poisoning, and it was a mess on New Year's Eve.
Could be sketch, right?
So, yeah, I consider myself a veteran of the buffets. You got to go small portions. Don't overindulge. 100%. I mean, don't eat with your eyes. Eat with your stomach, right? You can always go back for more. It's a buffet. I actually avoid the salads. I go with, like meat. I overload on starch, unfortunately, and that can ruin you for a buffet. But I usually take like the sushi first. We'll get that out of the way. The seafood thing, Doug. Unless it's a really nice place I paid a lot for, I'm not going to eat oysters there because I'm just not taking that chance. But that's the strategy. Less is more sometimes at the buffet.
I agree with that. It's good advice.
All right, here we go. Next question. All right. I have a few pair of boxer briefs that are over a decade old, but no holes. Can I continue to wear them?
Yeah.
I think it's from Kenny. No, I'm just kidding.
No holes and no stains, right?
Yeah, yeah. It just says, yeah, it's over a decade old, but they
I think as a gender, we are great with longevity and clothes.
Absolutely.
I will see a picture of myself, like, before I got married, right? And I'll be like, I still have that t-shirt,
yes,
and it's in rotation.
Yep. Yes.
Well, I read this in Men's Health magazine years ago, and it said the guy's wardrobe freezes at their favorite time in life. And so when you see older people and you go, God, they're still wearing that, that's because it was in when they were at their favorite time of life. And I tend to buy into that. Now, does it apply to undergarments? Dude, we're so happy when we have clean underwear and we don't need to do laundry. It doesn't matter how old it is.
You're right. There aren't holes in it.
We're not complicated over here.
100%. You keep going with it.
Just keep going.
I'm like, only 10?
Gator's wheel is 25, 30 years old, right?
If it still fits and there's no holes, no stains, let's go.
Do I even ask you how old the oldest pair of underwear you have right now is?
The wear is probably not that bad. Socks? Although I've been pitching socks lately because sometimes then the hole starts and you're like, forget it, you got to go. But t-shirts. I've got t-shirts and jeans.
Oh, t-shirts. Doug, to go to your thing?
I got t-shirts that got to be 30, 40 years
old. I have underwear older than my kids.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, I believe it.
The old Michigan logo? No, there's a shirt I wore on our honeymoon with me and my wife. And I wore it this past summer in Vegas. And she's like, why do you still have that shirt? I'm like, it still works, right? I mean, it's got the,
You don't like the shirt? What's the problem?
It's fine.
Why are you trying to change me?
10 years of decade old. You guys want another one?
Yeah.
All right. It's natural and everyone does it. Can we please normalize farting just like sneezing?
Just let one rip and somebody just goes, God bless you.
Kazoo time.
I always think it's hysterical. And I think the what makes it even funnier, of course, the sound is number one, but two is the circumstance. It's like, where are you when you're letting it go? Part of my algorithm.
It's
not a real life algorithm. Part of the algorithm that shows up with when I'm scrolling, doom scrolling and going through the reels or whatever in the TikTok videos. And I don't have TikTok, but you know what I'm saying? They're fart videos. And they're hysterical. There's videos that show up of people trying to disguise the fart. There are guys will be like, either like high school kids or college kids are like, hey, top 10, I'm going to disguise my fart. And they grab a book, like a textbook, and they'll drop the book. And the idea is to fart as the textbook hits the ground to disguise it. And it never works out that way. It's always like, boom.
Gator.
Hysterical every time.
I had no idea this was an algorithm.
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
It's unbelievable. All the fart videos that show up, it's unbelievable.
What the original question, Doug?
It's never going to happen again. If the guys made the rules, it would be just part of everyday. But God bless you.
This would help the women too. I'm guaranteeing they're holding farts in for hours when they don't have to.
No, what? Women? Huh?
This would be good for everybody.
I got a story from last night.
Oh, let it fly.
I'm sitting on the couch watching Monday Night Football, and my oldest son and my wife are getting ready to walk out the door, and I let one go.
There you go.
Big bassy one too, right?
Oh, nice.
And my wife turns to him and accuses him. She turns to her and accuses her. And they're accusing each other. And I'm over in the corner laughing. I finally go, that was me.
Fart wars.
Someone said, God bless you. Right? Come on.
I don't know if it should get to the point where we're so comfortable with it, we just let him go, and everybody's like, oh, how are you today? Because I worry that we'll become too accustomed to it, and it'll take the specialness of how hysterical it is.
You think they can be overdone?
Yeah. So you just want the funny still, but...
I want it to be, because it's always fun.
Can't you just be like, let's say, Doug, you're in line at Kohl's returning something for your wife, like you normally do. Yep. And it's a long line. It's taking a while. Could you just say, I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to have to fart. You know, like, I just cannot hold it anymore.
The world would be a better place. let's do one more.
All right. I don't want to be any part of Gator's algorithm.
Yeah, you do.
All right.
I'll send you videos.
Is it okay to eat toast with the butter side down? Am I crazy?
Hey, hold on. Why would you do this? Why would you do this?
You get the tongue right to the butter. Like, that's you get the flavor right onto
you
it.
You get the tongue right to the butter.
On the taste buds. Get it. Is this, wait, is this genius or is this? You never thought of this?
I mean, just get rid of the toast then and just start eating butter.
We've lost Gator. So, is that genius or is that crazy?
It's like mainlining the butter through toast.
But you're eating it anyways. Just get right to it.
Just get your tongue to the butter. Oh, as somebody who had English muffins this morning.
Did you eat upside down?
I did not, and there's no way I could because with all the nooks and crannies when the butter melts, if you flip it upside down, it's going to get... The tongue to the butter, yes, that'll happen, but it'll also be butter to the chin and butter your shirt. That's a little too much. No! What are you, a barbarian? Butter side up, always!
What would you do if you saw somebody? Would you be like, what are you doing, man?
What the hell is that?
All right. I guess I won't do that in front of you.
I would struggle because the avocado would drip down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that concludes the Big Old Tub of Pretzels. Send your questions in. Text us at 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, something from the NFL yesterday. And as always, how does it impact us? This is what we do here at the Carson Anderson program. First, we're getting a lot of feedback about the Big Old Tub of Pretzels. Seems to be some opinions out there regarding what we said and what was asked. Gator fighting to maintain the comedic integrity of flatulence is, in fact, the most Gator thing ever. Scott Carlton. Kind of is. The question was, can we just normalize flatulence and like treat them like sneezes? Gator doesn't want that world because then they'll stop being funny. And
I don't want to get used to that.
That is the most Gator thing ever. You guys should try pizza upside down with the cheese right to the tongue.
I mean, you're risking the topping sliding off. The only way you can do that is with cold pizza. And even why the hell would you?
I don't know. Anytime from here on out, when I hear a fart, I'm going to say, God bless you that I'm breathing in the car. Can we please normalize saying God bless you when someone farts? Doug's new nickname is Big Basie One. The best is asking Alexa to do different fart sounds. Does that work? I'm all for normalizing it.
That'd be fun.
I went to Texas Day Brazil for the first time and gorged myself on the best salad bar ever. Then the skewers of meat came and I was too full after... Just a couple.
So you can't do it. You got to remember what you're there for.
Yep.
It's Texas Day Brazil, which is this whole meat fest, is really what it is. It's fantastic. Keep bringing out different cuts of meat. They slice it right in front of you. They give you they just give you a little bit.
You can ask for a small piece too. Yeah. Like, you know, hey, not too much. Just, you know.
Like you got your paddle, like you're right at an auction. You know, hey, green, yes. Red, no. No mas. And you're like, let's go. Bring some stuff. What do you got? You got a hot link? You know, that's good. But if you fill up on the salad, then you've defeated the entire purpose of going out to a place like that.
Unless you're Doug, and then you were there for the salad.
I don't. Texas Day Brazil is lost on.
I like a soup and salad bar. I enjoy it.
I do. I like it too.
I really do. Mm-hmm. But like Doug, I'm going to have to go up there. I got to see what's there. I need certain things to be on. You know, the first thing I'm going to look at is going to be the dressing. And does the dressing look good? That's the other thing. Sometimes the dressing is a little soupy, or, you know, it's not the right consistency, or they don't have the flavor that you like. And I got to have my garbanzo beans. I need some kind of shredded cheese. Yeah, I hear you.
Regarding the Brian Branch suspension, the NFL is legally an entertainment league and not a sports league, just like the WWE. They are under no obligation to give you a real sporting event. That's a mic in a truck.
No, actually, they are a sporting.
Yeah.
There's athletic commissions and everything else. And
yep.
Drug testing and all types of stuff.
Let's just say if the NFL got investigated over game fixing on some sort of federal level, there could be jail sentences. WWE will not be investigated over match fixing. Tell me no, you see the difference, please.
That's a fact.
This guy nails it, or female nails it, whoever you are. You didn't sign it. I wish you had, so we'd give you credit. Mahomes behaves like a player who knows he will never get flagged. He embellishes every hit. He taunts like a punk. He slides late to draw penalties, and he pretends to slide to get extra yards. What's next? They make up a tuck rule in the playoffs. I don't know what that part means, but I agree. He behaves like a player that thinks he's never going to get flagged. Nick and Shelby, I don't think there's any directive from the league, but there 100% is some sort of mental hypnosis thing going on where the refs, when they're in Arrowhead, they will favor the Chiefs. I don't know why, but they just do. There's way too much mounting evidence to say the Chiefs do get the benefit of the doubt from the officials. That's from Nick and Shelby.
Well, they're told to. That's why, right? It's an edict. Very. You know, why the officials are nice to the Chiefs? Come on, right? It's the NFL.
No, I don't think there's an edict. I think he's on. I think they're influenced by the celebrity that has become the Kansas City Chiefs.
But this has been going on forever. This isn't just new because Taylor Swift is in the stadium.
No, I think Mahomes has a celebrity value to him now. I think Kelsey always had, and now it's been magnified by 30. Hmm. Brian Branch said out loud what the rest of the NFL fandom has been thinking for years. That's for Bryce from Bryson O'Mower. Don't use the word fix, try manipulate.
All right.
Hey, refs, this is RG. It would be good for the NFL if the Chiefs wins. Have a good day. That's from Dave in Clinton Township. I don't believe it.
Look, I'm having fun leaning into this a little bit today.
Yep.
Do I really think that there's some sort of bias that goes on? I think there might be an unconscious one that happens. And maybe to your point, because of how good the Chiefs have been, and maybe that just plays into it. I don't think the Taylor Swift thing does. And I think you just go by week by week. I mean, they didn't get called against the Lions, but they got called for 13 accepted penalties the week before. So clearly it can go both ways. It's just infuriating when you see play after play against your team that goes unpunished because it has a major effect on the game. If we're going to say we're going to take taunting out of the game, and then you allow the league's poster child to go out there and taunt, it's an empty gesture to say it in the first place. Because that's where you come down. So we should expect a fine this week for Patrick Mahomes for taunting.
Okay, and we'll see. We'll check the NFL's game day accountability page when that gets updated. With that said, something happened in the NFL yesterday. The Titans fire Brian Callahan. He was 4-19. They were off to a 1-5 start. He was given a bad football team. They finished dead last. They got the first pick. They opted to draft a quarterback. He has been starting for them in Cam Ward. And they fired the guy. And, you know, I guess when you're a coach and you get a chance to be a head coach and you sign this contract and you're guaranteed this kind of money, there's no reason to cry for them. I just find this cycle of quick firings to be weird, especially in a case like this. They made a long-term investment in a rookie quarterback. They're letting him start right away. It's all about the long view when you're doing that. They're playing the long game. And then they're firing a coach that's not giving them the short-term results that they want. If you said to Brian Callahan, look, we can go get a veteran quarterback or start the rookie. Your job is riding on this. What's in the best interest of the organization? Is it winning right now in year two of Callahan, or is it starting the rookie?
Well, CBS had an article on this last night that pointed out some other things other than, hey, it's you got a rookie quarterback. And Callahan was 4-19 since he took over the job. Obviously, it's not very good. Points per game, 30th in the league. Point game differential, 31st in the league. And they have the worst turnovers per game in the National Football League. But that's just numbers, right?
Yep.
Actual things they point out in week one, strange decisions that were made going into the half against Denver of decision-making. You've got the ball inside your own 10-yard line with 47 seconds left, and you're calling pass plays constantly, which didn't make any sense. And then you give the ball back to them, and I think they were able to score. They point out that perhaps didn't know the rules on one of these plays, that a receiver thought they didn't challenge a play when they should have challenged it, because the receiver actually caught the ball, his butt came down in bounds, but only one foot, but no feet came down. But that's a catch actually in the National Football League if you do that. He didn't know the rules and said afterwards, well, he needed to get a foot down. No, he didn't need to get a foot down. There are other mistakes that they point out in the article. So I think that it's more than just.
Yeah, it is. It always getting is. To
that, and it always is. Yeah, yes. But
so I'll acknowledge
typically,
that.
I would say though, firing somebody not even halfway into the second season is a little extreme, unless you've got something really strong to back it up. And it's the same thing going on right now in Michigan State, where people are like, should they get rid of Jonathan Smith halfway through his second season? Does that seem fair or not? It doesn't seem real fair, and yet you could talk yourself into it either way.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this particular case with Callahan, I feel like with a rookie quarterback, you know, throwing with inside a minute to go from inside your own 10, you're just trying to get this guy experience. You're just trying to, it's not about the results of the games that matter. It's about getting this guy up to speed so you can be ready to win as soon as possible. But look, I mean, that's just my theory. And, you know, but this, I always get back to the reason I'm bringing it up. Once again, Gator, not our dysfunction.
No.
We have been through years and years and years as the poster child for organizational dysfunction. And it is so nice to have the consistency that we've had at the head coaching spot, many of the key players that we've got, where the system, I wouldn't say it's running itself, but we're in a really, really healthy position. It's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, and it always needs tweaking, and it needs maintenance. But we've moved beyond the sum assembly required part of the Lions building, and we are at the, okay, let's maintain it and tweak it and make it better. But as important is a culture where there's not things getting in the way of winning. And I feel like when I see dysfunction elsewhere and we see it all over the league, I'm just grateful once again it's not us, because it was for so many years.
Yeah, it was that dysfunction and competence. And we don't have either of that right now.
Interesting column about Tarek Skubal. We'll get to that today at 12:05. It is Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.